Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Revenue Podcast. I am your host, Kara French. As always, we appreciate you joining us today, back delving into all things revenue, of course, focusing on the technology, the emerging market trends, some interesting industry perspectives. And if you stick around with us for long enough, I guarantee we're going to have an occasional off-the-wall conversation. We're glad you've joined us this morning, and we are just so excited to be here today talking about technology, throughput, scalability, and growth performance with Gitas Varsdoukas. He is a principal consultant with GeoFusion, an advisory firm that helps technology companies scale globally. We're going to talk today and get perspectives on everything from the evolving definition of products and technology and how expectations have changed from not only what your product does, but through the entire usage experience and customer satisfaction. We want to talk about what this means for traditional organizational structures, monetization strategies, and supporting technology. So to kick things off, Gitas, welcome.
Thanks for having me here today, Kara.
We're so thrilled to be with you. So before we get started, I always like to give our guests an opportunity just to tell us a little bit about themselves and their background, professionally and personally, if you'd like.
Yeah, Kara. Gitas, I've been in tech for over 20 years, full range of different types of solutions. Started off doing business development, then got into product management, first sort of on the outbound product marketing side, and then over the last decade or so working with engineering teams on product roadmaps. How do you build out products, things like that. Most of my work has been around SaaS solutions. So everything from cloud backup to collaborative solutions to industrial IoT, things of that nature. I've done some stuff in healthcare, enterprise communications and the like. So a broad range of SaaS solutions. I think, you know, my perspective is that with SaaS, it's very different than sort of packaged software where I started my career, right? The thing about SaaS and part of the thing that I've been lucky enough to experience is that in a couple of my experiences, I've had not only products, but also like the business operations elements. So think about business, you know, business, how do we run the operations behind the scenes, how business intelligence, how do we understand the business and things like that. And in a SaaS business, those things are very much aligned with one another. Most recently, as you mentioned, I'm with GeoFusion. I'm working with clients, one of which is a company called Montego Solutions. Just got their Series A funding over in Europe, and they're doing things like climate risk modeling. So how do you take and bring out new types of products that maybe are not sort of your traditional product offerings? And so my background is kind of been all over the board in some respects, right? Or broad, let's just say, not all over the board.
Right.
But focused and sort of broad perspective around how traditional box software has evolved into SaaS solutions and has moved into new different types of markets.
Yeah, it seems like there's, just in that time frame that you mentioned, there's been so much change just since you started your career to now. I mean, that's would be an amazing difference from kind of where you got started.
Yeah. I mean, we used to productization was to get the products out into the store.
Right.
Right. And get people to buy it in a retail shop. And then it moved to enterprise licenses when I was at Microsoft. Right. And now it's people expect to be able to buy, upgrade, downgrade, change their plan all through a couple clicks of the button on the web.
Yeah. So throughout all of this, you know, we're talking about things that change, but customer buying behaviors have changed.
Yes.
Even just recently as a few years ago, if you think about it. So especially in the B2B space. So what is driving these really dramatic changes that we've seen?
Well, I think people want to, well, I think the introduction, frankly, of software as a service was critical, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that was, I think, driven by two things. One was, I think, an opportunity that software companies or cloud companies saw in terms of the ability to get different people to try parts of their product. Right. So you know, it was an opportunity to frankly go around the purchasing department, right? And get maybe somebody who's an individual, get them to experiment with the product. And the best way to do that is allow them to subscribe to it for a day, for a month, for parts of, you know, a year or whatever, try it out, and then freemium offerings and things like that, or trial offerings. I think that's one element, right? The other side is, you know, the cost at an enterprise level, you don't want to maybe make a big outlay for something, right? Mm-hmm. So as an enterprise, you know, you don't want to make a huge capital expense, and you can push that capital expense off to an operating expense, right? So you don't have to buy a bunch of servers and hire a bunch of people to load the software on it. With SaaS, you could basically have an AWS or an Azure or Google Cloud platform or whomever sort of run that on your behalf, right? And that changes the economics on both ends. Yeah. Made it easier to buy, right? And then as a cloud provider, you're offering a service that is a lot more than just giving people the software, right? You have to do a bunch of stuff around that software.
So that's a kind of a consumer, you know, checklist that people are wanting now. You were talking about all these different companies and sort of going around the traditional financial systems. Is this making sort of connecting with the customer, getting them onboarded or connected easier long-term?
Well, I think it creates a different experience for that customer, right? The customer is assuming that it's going to be like getting an app off of an app store, right? And so they're expecting that the onboarding process is really simple and easy to use, right? I'll give you an example. Recently, last week, I bought a piece of hardware, right, to store some medical some of the medicines, right, that we have in the house, right? And the onboarding process of this, you know, and it's got, it was really simple, right? Through QR codes and things like that, and the ability to do facial recognition on my mobile app, I was able to sort of get this product up and running, right, in a matter of minutes, right? Mm-hmm. And it was a case where the ability to just sort of think about how do you do the onboarding and the overall experience is just so much. I don't need to go through a customer service rep, right? I got the piece of hardware, right? It's got software attached to it. Got it set up in 3 minutes, and then the firmware upgrade, boom, you know, the clock was reset automatically on the device, right? The device shipped from eastern part of the US. I live in the west part of the US. You know, the time zones were automatically updated. I mean, everything was updated just so, and I think people expect that in the enterprise experience too, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it, you know, people who are digital natives or the younger generation, they just assume that's the way software works, right? They don't want to have to call a customer service center somewhere else, right?
Absolutely not. No, right. they think that B2C and B2B experience should be very, very similar, right? We're looking just for the convenience across every type, anything that you do, of course.
Right. Well, but there's a downside to this too, right? Because it also is easier for them to technically offboard, right? So we build all these great onboarding solutions, but then you also need to think about offboarding, and that's why you have to make the experience really good for them, right? So when they become a customer, right, after they've onboarded and they've been using your software for a while, you can't make changing from one plan to another really onerous, right? Because if you start making the overall experience difficult, then it's easy for them to offboard as well, right? Yeah. You know, we've had a bunch of runs on the banks, you know, recently, right? Why is that? Right. Because it's so easy to extract your money out of the account, right?
I mean, customer retention, it's an entirely new way to think about that whole experience.
Right, and it's not just the product team anymore, right? It's the biz ops team, right? Yeah. The people who run the financial systems, the financial operations part of the organization. What's my billing experience, right? How are you handling invoicing for me, right? All of that needs to be it's part of the experience that people view now. It's no longer sort of cut and dry, right? Like, this is not just the product anymore, and this is not the billing experience. People view that all together as a continuum. When they buy, you know, the example I like to use, Kara, if you just give me a minute, is, you know, when you go watch a basketball game, right? You know, the players are the product, right? But the referees are like the billing folks, right? And the financial folks, right? There are rules in the basketball game, right? That somebody's got to administer and adhere to those rules, right? And, you know, right now we're in the midst of the NBA playoffs, right? And I was watching over the past weekend, and some of the commentators, Charles Barkley actually was sort of lamenting the fact that the officiating was really bad in this one game, right? That ruins the experience, right? So if you take that back to what we do from a business perspective and sort of a B2B offerings, right? The overall experience has got to be seamless. The accounting, the rules, the referees, that's all got to be a seamless experience for the customer today, right? Just like the players have to be good, all the people that are sort of supporting all that and providing all the guidelines, they have to be good too, right? Otherwise, the experience is bad for the customer.
Exactly. Well, we're talking about this whole experience, including things that you're saying maybe you don't see behind the scenes. So coming up, there's been a lot of this digital transformation. This is just kind of a big buzzword from an enterprise level. You're talking about companies with an impact on culture, the technology that's needed, just from an operational standpoint, right? Talking about those referees sort of managing the experience. So If you are thinking about diving into that or sort of what your business is currently doing to get to sort of that next level, what are some things from an organizational perspective that you need to consider?
Well, I think the thing you need to think about is how do you break down some of those silos or those traditional silos that you might have in the organization? So again, I've been fortunate when I was part of the cloud backup provider, Mozy, I didn't have just product. I also had the business intelligence team, right? And that was a team that was sort of analyzing all the data coming out of the system, right? And looking across the overall experience. You know, what were our support metrics? What was happening on the website? Where were people going, right? And so we were able to take that data and think about how do we change the experience for the customer, right? And so you need to sort of start building those bridges, right? At G Digital, business operations was part of my organization as well, which, you know, hey, we want to roll out a new plan, right? A-B testing, right? You want to think about a different pricing pack program where you want to maybe test with a certain set of customers. When you have that very close to product, right, you can sort of tweak the experience and understand what the downstream impacts are, right, for as part of that transformation for the financial systems, right? You know, how are we going to rate these products? What's our price book look like? All of those types of things are really critical. And then how are we going to recognize revenue? How are we going to handle collections? All those downstream things as well. That sort of becomes part of it. And so I think from a cultural perspective, you need to think about how do you build those intersections. You may not organize the team to be all part of one organization, but again, it can't be throwing stuff over the wall. You have to look at that data. You have to sort of give the opportunity for the people in the billing side or biz ops to provide feedback to the product organization for the overall experience as well. So it's just building, it's an understanding that everybody's part of the customer experience now in our new world. And sort of culturally, you want to make sure that people feel like they can provide input and that they're part of the overall experience as well.
So what about people that are, things have been done the same way for a long time? We have legacy systems. We hear this a lot when we're talking about financial systems that have just always, some manage still manually today with Excel type spreadsheets. So how do we get to sort of that next level to recognize revenue, to be successful when we're launching products or even considering changes to sort of facilitate kind of what's coming next down your pipeline as you're planning ahead?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things you need to do is you need to, as an enterprise, you need to kind of keep an open mind and sort of assess what's going on in the market and what some different alternatives are and different approaches are to this. And it's hard. Let's be very clear. There's so much change happening, you know, and it seems to accelerate every year, doesn't it?
So quick, absolutely.
Yeah. And so I think you need to sort of as a leader in the space, as an enterprise leader, you need to sort of keep your ear to the ground and think about and see what's happening, right? And sort of try to look for trends and, you know, look for, you know, what are analysts writing or what are some of the thought leaders in the industry writing about. And so I think, first of all, sort of keep an open perspective on things. And then if you start implementing or you start identifying solutions, I think it's also really important to not try to do it like all in one big swoop, right? Do incremental side-by-side deployments. Think about that, right? Or maybe bring in a piece of technology that sort of sits between some of your legacy systems and some of the newer systems you want to bring in, right? And think about how do you sort of build some of those bridges between processes that, and, you know, they give you the flexibility So I think that's really critical, is sort of think about side by side. How do you find things that sort of fill the gap? Maybe technologies that give you a little bit more flexibility the tie to those existing systems. So that's the way I would think about it.
Is there a connectivity issue, do you think, between this? We've got the middle office, we've got the back office, the customer. Is there a way to sort of evolve that sort of network to just sort of better anticipate customer behavior changes, especially in sort of SaaS, which is always your background, something like that?
Yeah, I think the connectivity thing is really something that the vendors are going to have to help you with. But as a enterprise, you have a major seat at the table. And when I say that, I mean, all the companies I worked at, the thing that got us to move our technology most quickly was the fact that a customer wanted it, right? A customer wanted us to do that connectivity. A customer wanted us to build out that integration, right? And so I think as an enterprise, you need to be vocal and sort of help define what the priorities are for a company, right, for one of your vendors, especially in billing, right? Because they're not going to build connectors. Most startups are not going to build connectors just for the good of it, right? They're going to sort of build it as enterprise asks for it. And you need to be very clear about sort of that connectivity that you want to have bridged and what kind of data you want to see move from one system to another, or how you want to see that data move. And it's bi-directional too, right? It's not just data moving from the website into the middle office, into the back office, right? Sometimes you want to be able to sort of assess that data from the back office and move it back up to allow customers to make better decisions, or even for the middle office software to make recommendations, right, to the customer. So I think that's a tough one. And there's a lot of historical data stuff, and I think there are other people that are better qualified to sort of talk about specific architectures, but at a high level, I think that as an enterprise, you want to really sort of be vocal about what you're trying to accomplish, and be very clear, like, what types of systems you expect to see working together.
I think that, we always talk about churn and reducing churn, and that's the risk, to your business. So many times when we're doing research, or I'm doing research for the Revenue Podcast, I'm coming across different articles and different things about taking this leap and, investing and embracing the new technology in your business, moving to digital operations. How can you manage being overly aggressive with scale and getting ready to gear up with your product and just take it at the highest level? How do you manage that both internally and externally?
So I think the best thing is just to have clarity on what you're trying to do with the business. Just be very clear in terms of what you're trying to achieve with the business and why you're trying to achieve it, right? Why are you bringing out a new product? Is it to improve customer retention? Is it to go after a new market, right? And then I think, as an organization, you just need to be very clear, because it's really easy to sort of be, very open-ended and, at a high level say, hey, we need to be able to do all of these types of things. Well, why? And in what sequence? And just be sort of very practical about what you're trying to do. A lot of work I do is like around monetization and pricing. And people say, well, give me a pricing plan. Well, what are you trying to achieve with that pricing plan? Are you trying to break into a new market? Then you have a different pricing approach, right? Are you trying to build trust with customers? That's a different approach, right? Are you trying to optimize your revenue, right? Or maybe develop a more predictable, form of revenue. And so that, you need to think about when you're going into your organization and you're trying to think about some of these transformations, I think you just need to be very thoughtful about what are you trying to achieve now and in the future, and what's a logical way of sort of moving through that.
Is there sort of a guideline for a company at an enterprise level where you're getting into and you're seeing, okay, this isn't working, it's time to pivot? We hear pivot all the time, constantly needing to pivot. Is there sort of a a moment where companies need to say, hey, we've got to be flexible with this product or offering and sort of listen to what our customers are telling us?
So I think the important thing about, you know, how long you try to do something is you really need to be thoughtful and about how long you were expecting things to go before you sort of really make a decision to do that pivot. You know, if something doesn't land immediately, maybe you don't have the ideal customer persona right now, right? Or maybe you don't have the ideal marketing that's happening and you're not reaching the right people, right? So you need to be thoughtful before you just sort of throw up your hands and go pivot in a different direction. And, you know, my sort of basic, you know, thought on this has been, you got to let something run 3 to 6 months minimum, right? Before you start really seeing results. I mean, a lot of times, you know, the first month, nobody even knows about it, right?
Yeah. And two, get the word out.
Yeah, get the word out, right? Have you aligned, you know, all the release of a new product, or getting people aware of it, right? Even when we distributed like major products like SharePoint and Microsoft back in the day, right? It took us a year before we really started seeing traction, right? And that's what the, you know, $1 billion company
machine
pushing all that,
right? Absolutely.
It takes people, because, you know, what are customers doing? The customers are basically, you know, your customers are in the process of doing their day job. They don't always have time to evaluate new stuff, right? And so getting people's, you know, attraction, then maybe you haven't got the right offer together yet, or maybe the product features are still missing something, right? And so I think you need to sort of give stuff at least 6 months before you start thinking about, oh, you know, this isn't working, right? And I know in a fast-changing world, people want to make quick decisions, but sometimes you need to let stuff sort of settle and then be thoughtful and maybe do tweaks on the side before you sort of make a huge pivot to go in a different direction.
I think this year, more so than any year, I keep hearing the phrase economic uncertainty, you know, all the time. It's a little bit of gloom and doom there. But ultimately, what I'm hearing is things are sort of changing for the better in terms of making your customer happy and what can you do to sort of respond to customer needs. So how can you sort of keep those customers happy and continue to say, hey, despite any economic conditions, we're going to continue to grow our business?
Yeah. So I'm a little bit of a contrarian and probably a little bit more of an optimist than most people. In my career, I've always observed that the best time to invest is actually when things are tough, right? Well, okay. Think about what's happening today. You have all this talent, right? That has all of a sudden become available, right? This is the time to go hire good people, you know? Right. You have all, you know, all these capabilities out there in the market. Right. This is the time when, you know, you need to think about, OK, yes, you need to focus and you need to be very clear about what you're trying to do as a business. But I think this is a great time to think about, you know, acquiring assets even. Right. Or business. Right. Because things are, quote unquote, on a discount. Right. Employees,
right.
There's more talent out there. So this is the time where I think you need to focus on what is going to make you successful as an organization, right? Make sure you're not being distracted, right? And have clear priorities, right? And then put the funding behind that. And again, I think you can probably get distressed assets, so to speak, right? At a bargain, right? Especially from a talent perspective today. Right. And this is the time to sort of think about how you can invest it. I think about it very much like, you know, my observation. And again, I didn't spend a lot of time in industrials, but when I was at GE Digital, we worked with the oil and gas industry. Right. And it was that when the cost of oil went down, that was the time when they really started thinking about how we're going to innovate. Right. Because it was critical for them. And that set them up for when the next cycle hit, right, that they were in a much more efficient space. Right. And so I think that's really what you need to do. Right. You know, bet on some new technologies. You know, if you can, make sure that they align with what you're trying to do, you know, and then evaluate stuff like machine learning. I'm surprised we've gone this long before we've talked about AI, because it's all the rage right now.
But I
do think, you know, that's something that you need to think about. How can you apply it in your business, right? And be thoughtful about it. It kind of goes back to my comment earlier of keep your ear to the ground and see how things are evolving. But I do think, you know, again, I'm an optimist, so maybe I'm a little bit of a contrarian here, but I do think that these are the times when the best companies, you know, set themselves up to emerge out of this downturn and really, really accelerate their growth.
Yeah, those are the companies that are going to have invested in themselves a little bit. Maybe not trying everything, but saying, hey, what works for us, and how, when we come on the upside of this thing, how are we going to be ready, you know, to go right to the next level?
Right. And who are we, right? So like not only what works for us, but who are we as an organization? And let's double down on our identity or the things that are really the most important priorities for us as a business.
And ultimately that translates to sort of the customer knowing who you are, what you stand for, and what services you can provide.
Right. Absolutely. It absolutely goes back to all that. And again, helps with the customer building trust with you, building trust with the customer, sort of it reinforces and hopefully, you know, reduces the amount of churn and make sure that you as an organization have all of your offerings aligned with the ideal customer that you're looking for.
Makes sense. Okay, last question for you. Little crystal ball, and this isn't on the script. I'm going off script, Peter, so hang with me here. So we're in the middle right now, 2023. 2024 will be here before we know it. So you said you're an optimist. So what do you think, you know, second half of the year, are we going to see some economic recovery, some business transformation there?
Yeah, I was listening to something recently, and one of the comments that was made on this broadcast was something along the lines of it's been 18 months that people are expecting the economy to crater, and it hasn't. Yeah. Right? It really has. I mean, we've had layoffs and things of that nature, right? And people have sort of put a pause. But if you think about it, you know, the economy is still growing. So I actually don't think we're ever going to have this crater. I think eventually, right, people are going to sort of realize that, oh, wait a minute, we may be reallocating capital and we may be moving people around, right? But I don't think that we're going to have this tremendous crater. I do think sort of people will start to realize how they can use things like AI, you know, and sort of, now that might not happen in the next 6 months or the next 18 months, but I do think people will start thinking about how they apply technologies. And so, you know, my general view is the second half of the year, there likely will still be a little bit of a pressure on spending. But I do think that, you know, some of the more brave companies will realize going into next year that they've kind of reset the tables. And this is, you know, how we're gonna, you know, this is how we as a company are going to be successful going forward. And they'll start making those investments, right? And they'll start sort of opening up, you know, some of their funds to make investments in companies, you know, hire on people, right? Hire on the good people, you know, maybe, invest in an asset, right? Make investments in new technologies and transformation stuff. So I think the next 6 months may be hard, but I think going into 2024, and again, I'm not a very, very weird place for me to be. I'm not typically one to make these types of forecasts, but that's just my general sense, right? Again, this is somebody who's an optimist in general.
Putting all the, we keep talking about AI, it's the buzzword, it's the last question, I promise, but we talk about AI all the time, we talk about this digital transformation, we talk about the digital technology. I know you've got, we're talking about the SaaS background that you have. Is this going to continue to be, this industry, I think, is only going to continue to grow, and people are only going to continue to expect sort of these type of services moving forward. Is that how you see it?
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're talking about sort of the flexibility around innovation and agility and responding, like if you're talking about sort of making sure that the billing solutions align with what I'm trying to, with what my commercial offerings are, absolutely. Right. Yeah. People want to roll out new business models, right? They're always thinking about a different way of attracting either big customers or maybe the tail, right, of the demand curve, right, where you've got people who, you know, may not be able to pay for the big thing, but they want it, they want certain pieces, right? And so I think the innovation around business models is just going to continue, right? And when you think about like AI coming on board, right, it just sort of supercharges that, right? Is because, you know, it's going to introduce different ways of thinking about stuff and different ways of understanding and different ways of creating offers. I mean, creating offers on the fly for customers potentially, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, because you're going to be able to tailor something to a customer that is uniquely for Care or uniquely for Gitas, right? And then you're going to have a billing system and rev rec and all those things that sit behind it that can snap to it. So I do think you're just going to continue to see as sort of the markets innovate and the offers, I think the backend systems and the middle office, as you called it, are going to have to also be able to innovate. Absolutely.
Yeah. If that trend's going to continue 100%, those things are going to have to continue to evolve to keep up and keep customers happy. Gitas, it's been so great visiting with you today and getting your perspectives and insights. As always with the Revenue Podcast, we want to connect with you. Visit our billing platform social media pages or our business website at www.billingplatform.com. Make sure you check out our first two podcasts. You don't want to miss a single episode. We'll be back next month with new topics, new insights, and of course, new perspectives on all things revenue. Thank you for listening and for having your cup of coffee, tea, or whatever makes you happy with us. Cheers.